And if some of you are saying, wow, we had so much to do in the first part of the service, surely he's going to keep his sermon really quick today. Nah, I got about 45 minutes planned for you, so put on the seatbelt. No, this is the fourth Sunday of Lent. It's got a name on the liturgical calendar that most folks don't know, but it's called Lectare Sunday. It speaks of rejoicing. And in some traditions, we don't necessarily have that tradition here just because we don't have the colors to go with it, but we would switch today from purple to a violet color for our adorning our altar and for our vestments. And the symbolism there is that we're halfway through this penitential season of Lent. We're almost to the resurrection. And so it's a day for us to remember that and to be joyful. And so the color of Easter being white, if you were to mix that in with the color of violet or purple, you would get this sort of rose color. And so the liturgical church in some traditions will change the color just for this week to remind us about Lectare Sunday, that we're there, or we're getting there, we're close to the celebration of the resurrection. We have some beautiful readings. Some folks don't call it Lectare Sunday. Some folks, jokingly in my clergy circle, refer to it as Snake on a Pole Sunday, which I think is quite fitting because of the lectionary readings that were given this week. That Old Testament story of the people in Israel, what are they doing? They're traveling. Oh, and they're a complaining bunch, aren't they? They're always complaining. Wah, wah, wah. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no bread. There's no water. And we detest this miserable food. The fact of the matter is the Lord has provided for these people. He's given them manna from heaven every day. All they've got to do is go out and get it. And they're angry about it. They're upset. They're complaining. And then they realize, oh, that's not right. We shouldn't complain about the blessings that God has given us. We should be able to get into a state of thanksgiving and offer praise and thanks to God for the blessings that he's given us. But they have to learn their lesson the hard way. What happens? These serpents, these venomous snakes, come through the desert and they start biting the feet of the Israelites. And they're venomous. So what happens? People die. Well, that's not good. No one wants to die, right? And so it gives us this picture of what happens when we reject the goodness of God. It's a type of death. It's a spiritual death. And in a sense, it's also a physical death because we know, the scriptures tell us, that through one man, Adam, sin, not just sin, the scriptures say sin and death entered the world through one man, Adam. But through one man, the high priest Jesus Christ, we're given eternal life. So we have this picture of the folks rejecting God, being in their complaining mode, getting bitten, and then they finally come wise and they say, you know what, we made a mistake. And they go to their priest, they go to Moses, and they say, Moses, you got to pray for us. We really messed up here. So Moses does what? He prays. He prays to God, and God gives them an answer. He gives them a solution. He tells Moses, he says, what I want you to do is to take a pole, and I want you to put a couple of snakes on that pole and raise it up. And those who get bit, if they look at that pole that you've made, then they're going to live. So Moses made a bronze snake, put it up on the pole, and then anyone who was bitten looked at the bronze snake and they lived. And then we fast forward to that gospel reading today from John's gospel account. Now, embedded in there in the third chapter is that verse that every Christian knows, John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. But it starts like this. Just Jesus is talking. He says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. And so what do we see there? As we've been seeing throughout this Lenten season, we see these beautiful foreshadowings, the Old Testament giving us a little bit of a hint of what's going to be revealed in the good news of the gospel, what's going to be revealed in the good news of Jesus Christ and his salvation that comes to us by grace. And did you hear what Paul said today? What Paul tells the church at Ephesus is that it's by grace that you've been saved. How? Through faith. Not of your works. There's nothing you can do. Not of your works. It's God's merciful gift. It's God's grace that saves you. And he goes on to hammer the point home. He says, it's not by your works. Why? Because God doesn't want anybody boasting about how they got themselves saved. It's a gift from God. Just as in that Old Testament story today, the gift was God answers Moses' prayer and he gives them an image. He gives them a way of understanding, a sign, if you will, that if they look to him, he's going to give them a way for eternal life. Just as Jesus gives us that same image in the New Testament, when he himself becomes what? He becomes the one on the cross. He is the one that's lifted up. So that when we look to Jesus Christ on the cross at Calvary, when we believe on God's only Son, that's our faith, then by God's grace, we receive the gift of salvation. That's the gospel. It's the good news, brothers and sisters. And so many of us know that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. But we stop right there. I want you to hear the rest of the good news, and I want you to meditate on this week. And if you have a chance to let somebody else know about this, let them know about this next verse. Verse 17. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. It's my prayer that you will follow what God offers you. You'll receive that free gift of grace, and you'll place your faith in the one who saves. His name is Jesus Christ. He's our Lord, he's our Savior, and he is the reason that we have good news. And if you receive that good news this fourth Sunday of Lent, let me hear you say, amen. 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 Let's rise together. Let's profess our faith this morning in the triune God as has been given to us by the Apostles' Creed. Would you join me?